I want to talk about love today, godly love, Christian love. I want to start off with a story. There's a Christian marriage counselor, and he was known for bringing restoration to marriages, to those whose love, their marriages have drifted apart. Those that knew him called him the love doctor because he was always right there with scriptures, knew the right things to say and to help people out. And he wasn't so good at his job because of the degrees that he'd earned or the amount of books that he read. He was good at his job because of his relationship, his connection to God. You see, over the years, he cultivated a passionate relationship with God, and that spilled over into his ministry, into his work, into his life, and his ability to help other people. It was because of God's love that spilled over, because of that close relationships. But a series of events in his life began to change things. He began to lose his passion for God. It was the pressures of his work, a new child being born, a busy home life, and he started to push back. His devotional time, his relationship with God began to suffer. And then his life began to suffer. He started to have problems in his own marriage. People said his marriage was on the rocks, but you know, like I say, doctors, heal yourself. Well, he couldn't. His relationship had slipped with God the Father. The tables had turned. Now he needed help in his marriage. So one day after a huge argument with his wife, he left the house and went to walk through his town. In town, he come across a man that he'd helped in previous years with his marriage to heal it. And the man saw him and come up and wanted to talk to him again. He said, "My marriage is on the rocks again. I need your help." But the counselor had no help for him because he had nothing to give. His relationship with God had dwindled. It had dried up. And see, there was nothing that he could offer this friend. His connection was not up to par with God, so his connection to his friend wasn't up to par. It put him in a position none of us want to be in. You see, the depth of our relationship with God will reflect our ability to help others. And I believe this with all my heart. We need to cultivate that closer relationship. We'll either live from a loving relationship with God, or we'll fail in this life because we have nothing to hold on to. Being a Christian, I look around here today, I can say all of us in this room are Christians or professing Christians. We have to learn to love like Jesus. The first scripture I want to look at today is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. It starts out, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and known God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this, the love of God, was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this love, not that we love God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us." When John wrote these words, he was actually writing to the Christians in his church that were spreading false teaching about Jesus through his congregation. His congregation was made up of both ex-Jews and ex-pagans. One side emphasized the divinity of Christ, and the other side, the humanity of Christ. But John was facing these issues head on. And he not only set out to prove that Jesus was equally God and man, but he simply encouraged them to love. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today. Just simply love each other. See, his church was so concerned with the details of their faith, they forgot about the foundation, the principles of their faith, and that's to love one another. And I don't think it's an isolated incident. I think our church faces that today. Yeah, we do love, but like John's church, we tend to love those that are with us, those that are in this building. We tend to love those people that think the same as we do, that do the same things that we do. In our small groups and our Sunday school classes. But we forget about all the other people in the world that this commandment speaks to as well. All the people who don't do the same things you do, the people who don't think the same way that you do. You see, they're in need of the same love that God has given to us. And guess what? He chose us to communicate that love to them. So how do you learn to love like Jesus? I don't think it comes natural. I think it's something we have to work on because of our sin nature. He started out in verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another." And that's God's standard. And it sounds pretty easy. You see, as long as we have positive feelings for each other and get along with each other, we're doing fine. That's not true. We're not doing fine. To understand what it means to love, we have to understand the definitions of love. And we've talked about this before. And I want to concentrate on three of the Greek words for love this morning. The first is philia, and that's friendship. Hopefully you have that kind of love for those that are sitting around you. That philia love, that friendship, that companionship, that caring that we have for each other. You get to know someone by sharing time with them, sharing interests. And maybe with some you form a close relationship. And I'm sure in this church there's people that experience that. And the second one is eros. And that's romantic love. You know, a man and a woman can start out with filio love, and it grows and grows and becomes that romantic love. Maybe they eventually get married, and their love grows and it changes. But what about that day when, in their happy marriage, they have a fight, and all of a sudden, maybe they don't care that much for each other? And that brings us to the third kind of love, agape love. You see, maybe at that moment of the fight, she's not feeling so friendly towards him or even so romantic towards him. But agape love, that's the emotion, that's the love that brings them back together, that gives them the ground to stand and talk and work their way through the problems. And that's the love that God has for us. You think God is always happy with us? I don't think so. I think we all stub our toes and stumble. Agape love goes past an emotion. It's stronger than that. John said, chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another." See, I talk about emotions and I talk about agape love. Emotions are one thing. We feel what we feel. Emotions are neutral. I can stand here today and look at you and say, "Be happy." But you can't change how you feel. You can't change that emotion by me just telling you to be happy. But God commanded us to love one another. The deepest love. And I believe agape love is an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's a choice that we make in our lives. John is urging us to love each other so much and so strong that it actually becomes a practice in our lives. It becomes the way we see life. It's something we have to stop and think about. You see, I believe we're under obligation for agape love, to make a payment for something that we received. And that's the love of God our Father. And we're commanded to pass that along. In verses 7 and 8 this morning, it said that it points out that God expects us and commands us to do the agape love. Matthew 22, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, if loving God is our greatest commandment, then loving people is the second. He says it is like that. And I want to ask you this morning, can you love those around you as much as you love God? I believe this verse is commanding that, is telling us that. God's greatest purpose for us is to love His children. And I'll tell you, it's hard. As we look around this world today, how are we going to love all those whose names we see in the news that commit those atrocities? Closer to home, how are we going to love those in our community that don't maybe rise up to our standard of living? God doesn't say we get to choose who we love. We're commanded to love in agape love, where it becomes so much a part of who we are that we no longer look upon those people and judge who they are, but we love them and we accept them the way they are, and we're God's voice, and we share that love. Yeah, maybe this is the season of love in such a way that maybe people are listening right now, because the birth of Christ is in everybody's mind. Even the atheists that rail so hard against us calling it Christmas, the name of Christ is still out there, the name of love. John said it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. He said, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Where do you get this facet of love? How do you love someone in that manner? That love can only come from God himself. That's the source of our strength. That's where we draw to be able to continually connect to the people around us. If we continually connect to Him. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." If we know God, we will be a loving people. We'll imitate the Master and the Son. If I claim that I'm a Christian, you shouldn't have to look at me and wonder if I truly am. You should see it in the way I live my life and the way I treat other people, the way I talk to other people. And that's what being a Christian is all about. I should be able to look out here and see a room full of people that gives of themselves. And not just because it's Christmas time or the season of love, but every day of your life, I should see the light of Jesus Christ shining from you as you reach out and you touch other lives. We grow to be more and more like Him every day when we connect with Him every day through our devotionals. Husbands talking with their wives, with their children, as we interact with the people in our workplace, the name of Jesus Christ should be on our lips. And when we do good in this world, it should be Christ that receives the recognition, because He's given us all we have. And God has given us two great institutions, two gifts to us, and that's the family and the church. And that's where you gain your strength. That's where you gain this love that you pass around. And God expects us to have relationships with others. And Jesus didn't tell us something that He was unwilling to do. He practiced what He preached. He gave us the ultimate example to follow, as He always does. We all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to share a story with you. I know we talked about this years ago in a Sunday school class. It's a story of John Griffith. You know, this could be a great urban legend, a Christian legend. I don't know, but there's enough out there that I believe it actually happened. It's a story about a man. His name was John Griffith. He lived in Oklahoma around 1929. At the stock market crash, he lost all of his investments. He moved to Mississippi and took a job as a bridge operator over a river, a railroad trestle. One day, his 8-year-old son was with his father playing around the office, the control room for the bridge. And pretty soon, his father noticed the son was no longer in the operating room. He looked around. He saw his son out climbing around on the mechanism for the bridge. He stepped outside of the office to yell at his son that he'd opened a bridge for a ship to clear. As the ship was clearing, he noticed that there was a train coming, the Memphis Express. It was coming really fast. At that moment in time, he recognized the fact that he had a choice to make. He could either run to get his son, and the train would crash into the river with 400 people on board, or he could close the railroad bridge and his son would die. He made the decision to close the bridge. His son was crushed in the mechanism, and the train roared across the bridge. It said as the train went by, he could see the faces of the people in the windows, some of them laughing, some waved, smiling, going on about their business, and they were oblivious to the sacrifice that John Griffith made that day. That's an application of love. I want to ask you a question before I close today. Do you love the people sitting around you? I'm not asking if you like them, filial love, or if you're romantically involved with them, eros love. But do you really love them? You know, years early in my life, I would think that would be a strange question. But if you're a Christian, it shouldn't be. Because agape love shouldn't allow you to love just like that. You should love everyone sitting around you. And even farther than that, do you love those in this city, in our community, a state? From what I shared today, you should. Because Christ tells us to. God commands us to. Will you accept them for the way they are? Will you invite them into your life? We can't make a difference in anyone's life if we don't invite them in. Accept them in agape love. I'm not saying we have to accept everything they do, because some of it's sin. But we're commanded for that love. A Greek writer, and he wasn't a Christian, his name was Lucian. He lived around AD 120. And he had this observation about Christians. He wrote, "It is incredible to see the fervor with which the people of that religion help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first legislator, Jesus, has put into their heads that they are brethren." He wasn't a Christian, but he noticed that Christians spare nothing. You see, God faced a similar dilemma that John Griffin did. How could he be just and justifier at the same time? God had to allow death to overtake his son to save us. And just like then, People go by every day, oblivious to the sacrifice that God has made. They go through their life smiling and laughing, and not realizing that a death had to occur for them to be saved. The Memphis Express caught John Griffith by surprise, but of course we know the death of Jesus Christ wasn't a surprise. God had it all planned out. Paul said in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus' death wasn't a result of jealous Jews or hard-hearted Romans. It was out of agape love that God has for us. We all know what John 3:16 says, but do you know what 1 John 3:16 says? It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let's all stand together. And I want you to think. He said we should all lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you love someone outside this walls enough that you'd lay down your life for them? I don't know how many of us would ever be called. I like to think that I would. I'd like to think that I can love my brothers and sisters with agape love, but I'll tell you, I'm not there yet, because I'm still growing. I'm still grasping this facet of love. I'll tell you, I don't think I'll truly get the depth of it till I go to be with my Lord and Savior, to truly understand the depth of God's love for us. But I can do the best I can do. I continue to grow in my relationship with him, and I can continue to reach out in that love and allow God to work. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We have to learn to love one another out of the love that Jesus Christ taught to us. So I'll bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning I just pray for an understanding of what it is to love with agape love, Father. To have that love for the lost, the ability to see beyond the life they live, to see beyond their struggles, Father, and just to accept them and love them as you have commanded us. Help me go past loving the lovely, Father, and help me to love the unlovely. Father, as I grow in love with you, help me to pass that along. Allow me to use the overflow that you give me to make a difference. Father, I ask that you would bless everyone here today, Father, in their families. And I ask you to help us to understand the message of Jesus Christ. It's his name that I pray. Amen.